The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk
with Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
I'm sure many of you, like me, are a fan of crosswords and know the pain of failing to complete a puzzle. Well, my next guest both understands that pain and is, on occasion, the cause of that pain. That's right. Matt Ginsburg is one of the brains behind the New York Times crossword puzzle, and he joins me now on the Hard Shoulder. Matt, it's an absolute pleasure to speak to you. How does one end up becoming a crossword writer for the New York Times?
I can only tell you my journey. Good morning, by the way, or afternoon, or whatever it is over there.
Afternoon here, morning there, yeah.
I actually, my job was more of a struggle than usual, and I wound up taking a month off with nothing to do. And I wanted to try my hand at something absolutely new. And I figured, okay, I'll try making a crossword. I like crosswords. They seem cool. And I gave it a shot, and I submitted many crosswords to the New York Times, and eventually Will Schwartz, the editor, decided to take one.
Oh, wow. So that's how it worked. You literally designed your own crossword and started sending him in, and eventually they sat up and took notice.
Yes. I mean, he's awesome when he rejects things. I don't think it's Will so much, but he always sends you this really nice letter that makes you feel very good about the fact that he rejected your puzzle. And I got better at constructing, and eventually, he decided he liked it, and I had a bunch in there by now.
Okay, so how does this work? You just keep submitting them, and every now and then they'll take one on and say, yep, Matt, we're going to use this one. It's going to be in the paper whenever it happens to be.
Yeah, there's a rule. You can only have three submitted at a time, because otherwise people just inundate them. And it takes about a year. When they take a puzzle, from the time you submit it till the time it appears in print is about a year. And I often tell people that by the time my puzzles appear in print, I can't do them anymore. I've forgotten the clues. I've forgotten the sort of theme. So I'm terrible at solving crosswords.
Oh,
so
wow.
I just
sort of stare at it. No, sorry. This is the truth. You genuinely struggle sometimes to finish your own crossword.
I totally struggle to finish my own crosswords.
Well, isn't that? I think that will provide a bit of comfort to the rest of us who struggle to finish them as well. I'm something of a crossword nerd. I'm in a crossword league with my friends, and there's spreadsheets, and there's cups, and there's league titles, and there's personal bests and average, all sorts of stuff. You know what I mean? Very embarrassing to be revealing on national radio, but we do love it, and it is the New York Times crossword that we do.
So,
go on.
I mean, I have gotten my revenge, right? I wrote this program that solves crosswords.
I was going to ask you about this. This is the deep blue of the crossword world. Tell me about it.
I hate being terrible at something. And I went to this tournament every year where, there were 700 people, and pretty much all of them were better than I was. And eventually I decided, okay, enough. I'm going to just write a computer program. And 10 years later, a week or so ago, it actually won. So machines appear now at least once to be better at crosswords than people are.
Well, okay, so you've designed a computer program. It took 10 years to do, but you've designed a computer program that will solve crosswords now quicker than people.
Yes. And the trick is British crosswords are, and I assume Irish crosswords are similar, are different from American crosswords in that American crosswords aren't cryptic. They do a lot more unplanned sort of or undefined wordplay. They have these bizarre themes where, they'll add an E to a whole bunch of common phrases. And that's what makes them challenging for a computer, because real imagination is required. And you have to sort of try and put yourself in the mind of the constructor who's trying to do something original that you've never seen before. And for computers to exhibit any kind of originality is very hard.
Yes. I noticed, because things like this in the New York crossword, like a little short clue, it could be like so long or I'll talk to you later, could be see ya. And if that was in an Irish crossword or a crossword in the UK, they'd say it was broken down into two words, 3, 2. So you'd know it was broken down into two. When I do the New York Times, it would just use it'll just say there's five letters
just
here.
Yeah,
that's it. And that provides a difficulty, I assume, then, for the computer.
It does. And they do even weirder stuff. So in the tournament this week, there was one clue, and the answer was, the clue was crazed. And the answer was mannequin. And then the next clue over, the clue was deduce, and the answer was fur. And what you're supposed to realize is that if you say mannequin fur together like that, you actually have manic, which is crazed, and infer, which is deduce. So you've got this bizarre combination of homonyms and reaching over the black square in the puzzle. And it's, and you know, I had not anticipated that, not surprisingly, when I wrote the program. So the program had no idea what was going on. And that was one of the puzzles on which it actually made a mistake.
The chess world, I mentioned Deep Blue. The chess world was not a big fan of Deep Blue, IBM's computer, back in, God, my God, was it the 80s or the 90s when it was revealed to the world? How has the crossword world reacted to your AI?
I think I'm the man they love to hate is probably the best way to put it. everybody gets along. I love the crossword community. It's a bunch of smart, friendly, eclectic people. They're a blast to hang out with. And they view me sort of, I mean, the event was virtual this year, right? So I couldn't be in the room with the 700 people when I finally beat them and listen to them all, you know, boo or applaud or whatever it is they were going to do. But, you know, next year I expect it'll be back in this big ballroom in Connecticut. And people will say to me whatever they say to me. We're all friends. I mean, the crossword community is really a very well-knit group of people. So I don't think they're going to be mad at me. I think the constructors will make the puzzles extra weird next year as they try and dethrone me, I guess. But it's all in good fun.
Oh, you think they might make it a little bit more difficult at these competitions rather than, are you revealing that the New York Times crossword itself in the paper is going to get more difficult? It's difficult enough for me,
I don't think,
Matt.
The New York Times puzzle is going to get more difficult, but I think the competition puzzles will get more interesting. I don't know if they'll get harder. I think they'll get harder for Dr. Phil, but I don't know if they'll get harder for the people. But they will be, I think, more innovative, which is great. I mean, I may take it on the chin next year, but if the people at the tournament have a better time, awesome.
Can I ask you, Matt, to go back to the construction of a crossword puzzle for a moment? Where do you start? Do you begin with a theme, something you want to touch on? Do you just start with a single clue and see where it takes you? What's the approach?
In general, you start with a theme, and assuming it's a puzzle with a theme, and you make a bunch of themed answers, and then you try and fit them in, and you put the black squares around them, and then you try and fill the rest of the puzzle. And in my case, I've always put in too much theme material and it won't fill, so I have to take it out and try again, and it's very sort of back and forth. And then once you have the whole thing filled in, you write a bunch of clues that are hopefully, you know, more clever than not, but not impossibly difficult.
Do they ever reject it in the paper because it is too difficult?
No. I have never seen that. I know that occasionally will tone down the clues. So the editor will change some of the clues. And if the clues are just flat out too hard, they will make them easier. There's some stuff that you don't put in a puzzle. So the guy setting the puzzle, will occasionally write back and say, this puzzle includes the following stupid word. I refuse to put that in a puzzle in the New York Times.
Oh, Matt, and give me an example of that.
I knew you were going to ask. I'm trying to think of one. And,
that's all right. It's all right. If one doesn't spring to mind, he rejects certain words anyway.
OSO is Spanish for bear. And it's a stupid word. And it's been used a ton in puzzles. And people put it in because they get stuck. So I'm sure that Will, the editor, would look askance on a puzzle that had OSO, but it's not as truly terrible as the Qwm, CWM is a river in Poland, I think. And that's not good.
No.
Nobody knows it. And it's just strange. And it's just there because you got stuck. So you're encouraged to remove that sort of crossword ease from puzzles.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the Spanish for bear. There often is in the New York Times reference to words in Spanish, possibly. And I guess so many people of a Latino background and people who speak Spanish in the States, not so here. So I often struggle when there's a clue that has anything to do with the Spanish language, I have to say. Do you, because there's a time lag between your submission and when it appears in print, are you then advised to stay away from contemporary issues? I mean, mentioning, you know, maybe someone who's a candidate in a presidential election, for example, because that election will be, you know, well past its sell-by date by the time it's printed.
Somewhat. The biggest thing is the puzzles are supposed to be non-controversial. So you're supposed to not put politics in, because some of the puzzle solvers will be annoyed, whatever side you take. I actually, I had a puzzle a little while back where the clue was famed orange troublemaker, five letters. And the answer was the Muppet Ernie.
you knew what you were doing there, Matt.
I did know what I was doing. And the puzzle came out and I had forgotten about it. And I started getting all this email about this clue, because you just can't put politics in the Times. And I got in touch with the editor and I said, am I in trouble? And I said, first of all, did you notice? And he said, oh yeah, we noticed. And I said, am I in trouble? And he said, no, because the answer was Ernie. So you have, you know, it's all deniable. But roughly speaking, you are not supposed to put politics in the Times. And, you know, there's something called the breakfast test. Any topic that you wouldn't discuss with your family at breakfast on Sunday isn't supposed to be in the Times. Anything that makes you feel bad isn't supposed to be in the Times. So you won't see cancer, for example. And if somehow you do, it'll be clued as the astrological sign.
Okay.
Adolf tends not to show up because nobody good is named Adolf. so there's a real effort. And Will does a great job at it. He really tries to make the crossword uplifting and fun. And yeah, it should be.
And it is. It is. The New York Times crossword is fun. And Matt, I had great fun talking to you. We appreciate your time. Matt Ginsberg, who is one of those who constructs the New York Times crossword. He constructed Dr. Phil, his AI that solves the crossword faster than people. Now won its first tournament last week. Matt, thanks a million for speaking to us here.